This time on episode 233 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have an important show announcement. We're going to discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Principia, Marvel News Roundup, and your feedback.
I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, March 18th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast cloud-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Certified Nurses Day.
Yay! Happy Certified Nurses Day to all the nurses that put up with us.
And a special shout out to my friends Christy and Helen, who are nurses, and I follow them, and the work that they have to do and the knowledge that they need to have is impressive.
Yeah, like, we're not being facetious here. You guys rock.
You guys do indeed rock. Matter of fact, the last couple of weeks, I've had a lot of nurses that were helping out a family member. So that is wholeheartedly a thank you to all certified nurses. Yay. And it just so happened to be National Certified Nurses Day on March 18th, 2018. So you go, all of you. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, if they ever have another series, Legion on FX, season 2 is coming up soon, possibly The Gifted on Fox, if we put it on the schedule, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Infinity War is coming, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of hanging out with your grandparents.
If you'd like to talk to us about hanging out with your grandparents, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can find us at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. And tell us about hanging out with your grandparents.
If you have stories about how your grandparents inappropriately use Facebook, you can leave that message on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If you'd like to tweet us about your grandparents, in the past, in the present, or in the future, you can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to guide your grandparents through watching this show on YouTube, or perhaps watching some ghost ship history on YouTube, you can find us at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
And just a short announcement, Haley is out for yet another week. She's taking yet another personal day. This is getting kind of long, as you can imagine. This is the second week in a row, but since we don't pay her, she can leave really whenever she wants and come back whenever she wants to. So we will anticipate her back at least in a couple of weeks. So we are really excited to have Agent Haley back with us. And now we have an important show announcement. It's been teased since Michelle said it in the beginning of this show, but we do have an important announcement. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now available on Amazon Personal Assistant Skill List. Yes, all you have to say is the activation word, whether that's computer, whether that's, you know, whatever else you've chosen, and then say enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then you will have your very own Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill on your Amazon personal assistant device. It could be an Echo, could be a Show, could be a Dot, it could be any one of the personal assistant devices that has the skills on board. All you have to say is enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it will bring you there. I have a link in the show notes if you want to see the skill listed. Now, unfortunately, right now, as of when we record this, it's for U.S. participants only. So I'm sorry, Canada, it's not there yet, but we're working with Amazon to enable the skill in Canada and other countries as well. But I guess Canada is the next one that is coming down the pike. And this is done through our media host. It's Libsyn, that's short for Liberated Syndication. And they've taken the liberty to have Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a beta tester. So we're one of the first. So if you could go in, enable the skill, and then use the link in the show notes to maybe rate it, that would be awesome. We would appreciate that. This is different than any other skill that you might have that could play podcasts, because you can go back and forth across our entire archive. You can individually play, control play functions, and lots of great stuff. So if you enable it, please let us know, and please rate the skill online. That would be awesome, and we would really appreciate it as we move forward, taking this from beta out to real life. And I talked to the ladies about it before the show, and they were both really excited about it. Right, Lauren?
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty cool. I got an A word recently. I haven't set it up yet, but finding out about this, I'm like, this is more reason for me to try setting it up and see what it can do. And especially since something that I am involved with is a thing for it, which is vain, but I have never claimed not to be vain. So yeah, this has me really excited.
Indeed, indeed. And now, Michelle, are you going to fish that Amazon personal assistant device out of the box and set it up just to throw on the skill, or are you going to wait until it's out of beta?
I don't know. I do have an Amazon device, but right now it just seems like it's for trivia and for turning lights on and off.
Okay, so my mom greets hers in the morning and thanks hers. And did I tell y'all about the time that over the holidays, Scott and I were down there and we were watching the Doctor Who Christmas special, you know, the one with all the Cybermen. And the Cyberman gave some order and her A word was like, "Thank you, I'll get right on that." And we started panicking.
Yeah, I would be panicking too. Now, I watched that same special, but I did not receive that indication from my device. So yeah, that's maybe I'm not going to watch it again. Or if I do, I'll turn off the device. Now, I know not everybody has one of those devices, but if you do and you use it like I do, I use it to greet it in the morning. By the way, the female who, I'm not going to say the name because I'm not going to turn on anybody's device, but the female A word name has a boyfriend, because if you ask her, how was your day, or did you have a good day? That's specifically what I asked. A word, did you have a good day? One of the responses is that she has a friend who is a self-driving car. So that is her boyfriend, a self-driving car. And now she has the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill enabled. So
did she drop a name of the self-driving car?
No, she did not.
Okay, then how do we know it's not a girlfriend and that self-driving car is Lola?
Because she specifically said it was a guy.
Oh.
Now, maybe Lola is a guy's name in her world, so that could be true. I don't know. We'll have to see.
A word, Lola ship crashed.
So, listener, if you could go and enable the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill and then rate it, we would be eternally grateful and we will be appreciative, and let us know how it's going for you. In the meantime, we're going to get on into the main event. Yes, this week we saw an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. It's always great to have a new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. This is episode number 101, since last week was episode number 100. And we were all wondering what the title was called, what it was about. And we got our answer, didn't we, Lauren?
Yeah, we did. So I forgot about it until almost the end of the episode, when that evil general lady, whose name I can never remember.
Hale,
thank you. I was going to say Hawk, but then I'm like, no, that's the lady. That's the main character from Dragon Age 2. So Principia is the name of the floating ship.
Yeah, it looks like a frigate or a destroyer, that type of class. The numbers on the side were 145. Not sure what that means. Just a ship floating in the sky at 25,000 feet. That was cool. A floating ship. That was so cool. We'll talk about it in a second. So, Michelle, who directed this great floating ship episode?
It was directed by Brad Turner. Has 103 directing credits since 2008, including 8 La Femme Nikita, 4 The Twilight Zone, 1 Battlestar Galactica, 8 Andromeda, 1 Smallville, 1 Alias, 8 Stargate SG-1, 6 Stargate Atlantis, 2 Prison Break, 46 of 24, 1 Daredevil, that was Stick, 1 Falling Skies, 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also a producer for 13 shows, including 24, Helix, and the Shannara Chronicles, which has been canceled, and that makes me sad.
I heard that because I have a fellow podcaster about podcasting that started a show on the Shannara Chronicles. I was like, hey, how's that podcast going? He's like, the show was canceled. Oh, so sorry. That was such a great show because everybody I knew enjoyed it. So I feel your pain, Michelle.
Thank you.
Lauren, who wrote the episode?
The episode was written by Craig Titley. This is his 8th discussion appearance on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's written some of our favorite episodes, including Afterlife, 4,722 Hours. Yeah, just a whole bunch of episodes. He has 9 credits since 2001, including the Scooby-Doo movie. He did the story for that one. Cheaper by the Dozen and Cheaper by the Dozen 2, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, the script for that one. 2 episodes of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, 2 episodes of The Cape, and 9 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Indeed. Now, we laugh about his name all the time, Craig Titley, when it is said on the podcast. Haley does, at least. Unfortunately, she's not here right now. But I always talk about Cheaper by the Dozen because I like the movie and he did it. So awesome there. By the way, have either of you two watched Star Wars Rebels?
Yes, I have not caught up with the last season, but I know what happens. It's one of those, if I watch it, then that makes the fact that it ended real and I'm not ready for that yet.
Michelle, did you get a chance to watch the series at all?
Not yet.
Okay. It is amazing, really. I wasn't expecting much because I didn't like the animation style. I'm not a big fan of that animation style, but it's the animation style that a lot of cartoons and anime has gone to these days because it's computer-aided graphics versus hand-drawn. And in that, it's crisper and it's capable of doing a lot more in less time for less money. So that's all great. But the storyline behind this whole thing, Star Wars Rebels, was amazing. I have not had a chance to watch the Clone Wars. Y'all keep telling me to watch the Clone Wars. I have not watched Clone Wars yet. But Rebels was a great use of my time. I'm so glad I watched it. And the ending was good as far as I'm concerned. I know different people had issues with it, but the ending was good for me, which makes it a great series. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you can go ahead and check that out. Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, the animation is also, so there was a Clone Wars animated series back in, like, I think 2005, and it was done by the guy who did Samurai Jack, Jendy Taratovsky, whose name I am horribly mispronouncing, and I can never get it right. So the animation for Star Wars The Clone Wars was very heavily based off of that style, and Rebels is kind of evolved from that. So that's, again, it's a very heavily stylized style. I can understand why people wouldn't like it. But it's something that I'm very used to, and I love going back and seeing how the animation there has evolved and gotten better. Just, I love it so much, and I don't want it to be over, but I'm really curious as to what they're doing next.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. The way it ended, it's great to look forward to what's coming next, and I won't spoil anything, but it's great to look forward to. By the way, if we look backwards just a couple of days, we can find the ratings for this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Principia, on Friday, March 16th, 2018. ABC aired it to a live rating of 2.14, which is pretty much steady from the weeks before rating, the 100th episode rating at 2.15, which is amazing considering that it was in the middle of the NCAA tournament on a Friday night, of which one of the biggest upsets of all time during the tournament actually occurred. So, for ABC Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to get this rating and keep it on the same level as last week, I think was amazing. And I'm looking forward to the ratings actually going up a little bit next week too. So really looking forward to the show succeeding as we go forward. Still think it's going to be canceled because I think a rating of 2 is kind of low for what they have to put into the series in terms of money for effects, cast, that sort of thing. But we'll see how that goes. Now, we're going to get into the episode discussion. Michelle, your mom has watched the episode, right?
Oh, yes. She is fascinated and captivated by this season. Even though this episode didn't have a lot of action, it still intrigued her because all these little breadcrumbs are happening. All these little moments are filling in things, yet posing more questions. So she is very fascinated. She has told me that this is her favorite season, like point blank, no more debating. She's like, this is my favorite season. And before we go on, I want to talk about the title of the episode a little bit more. The Principia is also the title of a book by Isaac Newton, written in 1687. And it's the Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. It brings together principles of time, force, and motion. So considering that this episode was also about gravitonium and a boat falling from 25,000 feet in the sky, I think it's interesting that they took the name of this book and they put it on the ship and everything.
That's a pretty deep cut joke, and I approve.
Indeed, that was amazing. We didn't get a chance to talk about that before we started recording, so that is great. I'll have to look that up. I thought Principia was not exactly a great name for a ship, just on the ship's name alone, that it had to have something to do with something, but wasn't quite sure. So yeah, that's nice pull, Michelle. Way to go. By the way, flying boat, yay, flying boat. That's also awesome. So for those of you that don't know, I'm a big Robotech fan. Robotech was this animation series that was in the 1980s that dealt with an alien ship coming down from space. And then through a series of events, it got merged with some actual naval vessels and really three animated series that were combined into one. But anyway, there was a big ship called the SDF-1, the Strategic Dimensional Fortress 1, and it had a combination of naval vessels and the original spaceship. So it had ships that were flying, and so now that we've got the Principia with gravitonium that's flying, we're one step closer to Robotech. This is awesome!
One day, you and Scott need to just sit down and talk Robotech and Macross.
I'm fine with that. We'll do that. A Robotech rewatch podcast is in my future at some point in time. There are already Robotech podcasts out there, so I wouldn't just be the only one, but it would just be fun to do. So it's on my radar at some point in time.
We have so much Robotech and Macross DVDs and stuff around our house.
Yeah, I still have the VHS tapes, which I'm doing a final watch through, man, with that. And I will be selling it on eBay or giving it away to somebody that really want it. And they're VHS tapes, so they do degrade over time. So it's not like a real collector's item or anything like that. And I still have VHS players in the house specifically so I can watch those. But in the meantime, we're going to get on back to the show and we're going to talk about Yo-Yo, because Yo-Yo has been a central theme of this series for the last two episodes, ever since the grueling thing happened to her in episode 99. And she is starting to cope with what's been going on with her, both mentally and physically, right, Lauren?
Yeah, so she lost both her arms just above her elbows. And one of the things that I'm liking that the show is doing is tackling that, hey, some people do not take to suddenly have a physical disability gracefully. I did not. And there's this thing that goes on in movies and TV. It's called inspiration porn. And it happens when a character is shown being disabled, whether physically or mentally, and they're kind of expected to handle it with grace. And everyone's like, oh, they're so inspirational. And oh, look at what they've overcome. And they're really less of a character with things happening to them and more a source of inspiration to everyone else. And it's kind of a gross stereotype. And in reality, people are allowed to be angry and they're allowed to have setbacks and they're allowed to just kind of take things as it happens. And what we've seen with Yo-Yo and her forgetting for a second that she doesn't have lower arms anymore and her being angry about it, that's a thing that I'm really liking right now. And it's partially that, and then it's also partially that this is taking her one step closer to that nightmare future that she's been trying to avoid. So it's kind of that double hit right there. And so she's not in the best place. But the good thing with her is that she's surrounded by friends who are trying to help. And we see Coulson like, hey, guess what? Robo hand. And of course, she's like, well, it's not the same, is it? And, you know, you have these people who are very well-meaning. And again, it's just, it's not the same. You had this expectation of what your life was going to be like. And all of a sudden, that's gone. And it's just these little moments in her storyline that I really appreciated and that I really, really related to. And it hurts so bad, especially because I really love Yo-Yo and I don't want to see her in that horrible, hopeless nightmare future. And I was so scared that when we saw Mac up there on that ship and he was like, I'm going to stay behind. I'm like, no, no, please don't let us lose him so soon.
I was thinking the same thing. As soon as he said he was going to go on the mission, he was going to take care of her when she asked for the beer and stuff like that, I thought that we wouldn't be seeing him again. And I was so grateful that we actually got him back. I'm wondering if this entire crew is going to make it to the end of the season here. And Haley mentioned before, like, the core group has continued to move on. But if this is indeed the end of the series, then we could get a Wheatness death to end the series in addition to Coulson. I mean, Coulson could be saved, or there could be something that happens to him in his health. He could die in saving the team as he tried to last episode in the 100th episode. So much is up in the air because the series is ending. The little things like Matt going on a mission, you don't know if he's coming back or not.
I think it's interesting about Coulson, because Coulson has started to accept his fate. Simmons asks, how are you doing? And he's like, I'm doing the same as I was before. I'm fine. He has told the team, I have survived one unnatural resurrection. I don't want to go through it again. And I know Daisy and May, they're coming from a good place because they love him. They say he's been our shield. We need to be his shield now. But it makes me uncomfortable because they're putting their needs of him being around. We need him to be our leader. We need not to see him die. But Coulson is like, I have accepted it. Let me go.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually hope that they do, because having someone force their treatment onto you is disrespectful. That's my perspective, that it's disrespectful.
Agreed. It's like having a family member who has a do not resuscitate order and keeping them on life support for years and years and years when it is 100% not what they would have wanted. You want their body to be around, but it is going against their wishes, and it's an extreme form of disrespect and greed, I feel like. And the thing is, you know where they're coming from, because they love him, they want him to be around, he means something to them, both personally and as a symbol.
Yeah, he was their shield. That was the symbol.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But at the same time, Coulson himself has said, I don't want this. I don't want another unnatural, life-prolonging thing.
And it's not surrendering. For some reason, they see it as him giving up, or he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to fight going through a very painful treatment. Having dead tissue resurrected is painful. It's not a very good thing to go through. So I don't see it as him giving up or throwing in the towel and just wanting to die. If that was the case, he would be off in a corner, you know, or locked in a room, go, leave me alone. I'm going to wallow. Instead, he's like, I know I have a limited time left. Let me live it how I want to live it.
Out of curiosity, I wonder how many of the writers in the writer's room this year were drawing on experiences with, say, relatives who've gone through cancer treatments or something like that for this particular storyline.
Yeah, it's very similar. When you have a family member that goes through something like that, more than likely they create a living will and designate a medical power of attorney. And the two can sometimes conflict. But if you are a true medical power of attorney, you're going to stay true to that living will and what the person's wishes are. But in either case, I mean, that is something to go through, and you have to understand that in order to tell that story. And I think the writers so far have been doing a great job in telling that story once it has been learned what's going on with Coulson. And I was thinking about this. If you even go back to the space station, he wakes up and he's looking out at space, and he takes a deep breath and he goes, okay, Phil, it's time to go to work. He knew even back then that this was happening to him.
Yeah. You go back and look at everything that happened after the Ghostwriter merging, and he knows after that that he's living on a limited time.
Indeed. So Coulson's team is going to act as their shield, which is very heroic. It's very team-like, but at the same time, Coulson doesn't want to, and we'll see where that goes throughout the rest of the season. And I don't know if that'll be wrapped up before the season finale or not. It could be. We'll see. I have no idea at this point what's going to happen, what's not. This whole season has been a bevy of surprises, starting from we're in space to begin it, or not technically in space. Actually, technically they were in space, as Deke actually mentioned this episode. Now, one of the things that they're going after is the remnants of Cybertech. You guys remember Cybertech from season 2?
Yeah, barely, until they mentioned it again.
Yeah, it took me back. I was like, okay, when was that? Oh, okay, it was that. And the whole Agent Garrick's unnatural life extension, the Deathlock program and everything like that, that's going back to Cybertech. And the fact that the scientists that were around that company, some of them are still there, and some of them could still be working on different things as well. It's like, oh my gosh, I thought we were done with this, but I guess it never, it's comic books, so nothing ever really truly goes all away. And we have the search for things, including robotic arms and a way to control the gravitonium, which is going to come to a head on whether Earth is destroyed or not by the end of the season. And of course, the what's going on with Coulson, I think that's going to be linked to it as well. I think we're at the pinnacle of what's going to happen with all those three things. And we can see the convergence of it as well now. In the meantime, Deke has an kind of an interesting encounter with his mom, who it's all in his mind, but it was an interesting encounter to actually see her on screen.
I know. It was, there he is eating Twinkies, and Fitz actually made a very calm announcement that we are going to experience an anomaly, and if you see something that's out of place, it's not real. But there he is. He's very happy to see her. Because we figured out that Deke's the grandson, and it's like, there's the Fitzsimmons baby. There she is. And we get to see her. It was very touching, and hearing what she said about taking the steps. And then when he sees the piece of the monolith later on, and he hears Simmons say that, the look on his face when he realizes, I am with my grandparents. Oh my gosh. And seeing before in the episode, him butting heads with Fitz and wanting to play catch with Fitz. This is like amazing. It was so cool to watch him go through this transition. And then at the end where Fitz is like, well, Deke, are you coming along? And he's like, yeah, Grandpa.
Yeah, watching all those. First of all, as an audience member who already knows, it's funny to watch all those little pieces that we know. Just the interaction of grumpy grandpa when they're the same age right now for all intents and purposes. And then that little hallucination of his mom, and we know how she's going to die, presumably. And then watching Deke notice all the pieces fall into place.
Yeah, he's got a high IQ. Never been measured because they didn't care about it, but he does have an IQ. And I would expect, being the grandson of
these two geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he helps kind of help things fall into place. And he helps Fitz figure out the pieces of this puzzle with the gravitonium and everything. Again, he's not dumb. Like, he points out, this just isn't his world. All of his intelligence and survival skills and everything is for a completely different time and place. If I ended up in, you know, the year 1300 in France, I wouldn't know what to do. If all I have is these little bits and pieces of theoretical knowledge that I have, yeah, I'm going to look dumb as hell.
Well, I can tell you one thing for sure. Make sure you hide your cell phone, because if somebody ever finds that, you're going to be labeled a witch.
Oh, that used to be my dream when I was a kid. Being labeled a witch. But I wanted to go back in time to Puritan era America, and I wanted to show them a Marilyn Manson music video. I wanted to show them The Dope Show. And I wanted to scream, this is what we're into now. This is what you founded. And then disappear before they could, you know, hang me as a witch.
We're kind of worried about your survival skills out in the open, because you are prone to accidents and stuff like that. So make sure you have a pretty foolproof escape plan when you do that.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. That's one of many problems with that plan. But as far as we know, time travel isn't a thing right now. So point is moot.
I don't know what you're talking about. I time traveled just to come back to watch this show. I mean, I'm hundreds of years in the future, and I came back.
I can travel through time forward at the speed of regular time.
Well, and depending on how fast you drive, you can actually go forward a little bit faster, too.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So, Michelle, what do you think about the marital name, the Simmons Fitz?
I'm like, no, it's Fitzsimmons. It will always be Fitzsimmons. We don't care what you say.
It just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
I had a couple of alternate ideas. We could have Sitz, which is also, unfortunately, a little bath you sit in if you have hemorrhoids. Or we could have Fimmons with a Z at the end.
Hmm.
Huh?
We'll see what they come up with. I think they're going to do Fitzsimmons just as a
probably
placation to the audience. Because we've been calling him Fitzsimmons since season one.
Yeah. Remember when they used to think that, back when we were first introduced to them, this is Fitzsimmons, and we were like, okay, it's one person. Nope, two people.
One of which likes to play baseball or fetch. What's up with fetch? Is that how English people say catch? Is it fetch?
I think he was just being
facetious.
Because Fitz said that Deke was following him around like a little puppy, and then he said fetch. I thought, is this degrading to him, or is this
yes.
Well, or it's what they actually say in England, so I don't know.
No, it was him being very frustrated with Deke, and it's like, okay, boy, we're going to play fetch now.
It's fine. You want to hang around so much? Why don't we, you know, just... Yeah, Fitz is frustrated.
Yeah, it's really interesting, that whole thing about boys wanting to play catch with their dad. You see that in Field of Dreams, and we saw that in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
My son actually wanted to play catch, and we played catch through a variety of different things. It was actually supposed to be, because he played hockey, was a goalie, it was actually something that was training for him as we did that. So we did that. We passed around the football and stuff like that.
I played catch with my dad.
Just a thing. You go out, you're active, and you get the reps in, and you have a good time. You talk while you're doing it. You have that little parent,
yeah,
child.
You accidentally get hit on the head a few times.
Well, as long as you're not poked in the eye, I mean.
I mean, that happened too, but it was unrelated.
I see. I know what I'm going to be doing with my grandkids. In addition to be playing catch, I'm going to be flying drones with them. I'm already planning for that. Yep. I just flown my new drone yesterday, and I'm really excited about getting into more fuller into drone flying than I am right now. So
yeah. Cool.
I do have this connection with Fitz because, you know, he had the seven dwarves and those are basically drones. So yeah, I'm thinking I'm a little bit more Fitz like than I thought. And I do wear sweaters from time to time. So I got gray in my beard. So maybe Fitz and I fit right in. I don't know.
Was it just me or was Fitz's wardrobe in this episode very grandpa-like?
It was intentional. Yeah.
Right?
It was. Although it's not out of the ordinary from what he was wearing all along either. So.
Yeah. So it's just a nice little visual joke, I feel like.
Once again, Lauren coming in with the costume visualization. Because that's what she likes.
I do.
Michelle, we also have the return of another character from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Alex Von Strucker, or Alex Von, or...
Alex Braun, or Werner Von Strucker.
And it almost seems like the writers did a rewatch of their own show and was like, what can we bring back? What loose end can we tie up? And we get Alex again. He remembers everything. He basically wants a chemical lobotomy, but Hale captures him and wants him to join her team. And she's using Ruby to manipulate him, to convince him to join the team. And it's interesting how Ruby uses the truth. And I'm wondering, do you think Ruby wants to take over the team? Is that her truth, or is it just a carrot she's dangling in front of Alex because she knows Alex likes to be in charge, considering his lineage?
You know, I honestly have no idea. I can't figure out what her angle is right now.
How old do we think she is? Because Dove Cameron, who plays Ruby, is 22. And I really don't want her to be like 16, because the whole 16-year-old hitting on an older person, I'm not comfortable with that at all for many reasons.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Can we say she's 18? Do you think she's 18?
That would be my guess, but I honestly don't know.
I'm thinking she's at least 18 because she's going out and doing missions and that sort of thing. But the pair remind me an awful lot of the brother-sister combination in Gifted and kind of like even the same name and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's a little bit unnerving to me, too, because I've been looking at that going, how old is she? But at the same time, you're saying the actress is, what, 22, 23? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, she's 22.
22, so okay, but she looks a lot younger, so I don't know. At least a senior in high school, but hopefully in college? I don't know. But of course, she lives down there, doesn't actually go to college, so there's that, too.
I thought it was interesting that Hale was friends with Hydra, and she's like, you know what, Alex, your dad is one of the reasons why Hydra went off the rails, and I'm trying to create something new. And it seems like she's wanting to create something that is not Hydra, that is not S.H.I.E.L.D. But what would the goal be? I wonder what she's actually trying to create and why.
Well, she was in bed with Hydra. I just think it will be some sort of Hydra replacement, or, you know, some evil collusion. She wants to rule the world, that sort of thing. That's my opinion. I don't think she's trying to be the Talbot. I think she's trying to be Hydra.
Yeah, I think she's trying to do new rebranded Hydra, because she said, oh, old Hydra was a boys club. This is going to be better. So, eh.
Definitely the villain in all this. And as for Ruby, I do take her, I will say face value, but I'll believe her that she wants to take over from her mom, because I think she sees her mom's missteps along the ways, and she wants things to be a certain way herself. And she knows her mom's been manipulating her all along, and they're having that mom-daughter, I'm not completely getting along with you sort of thing. So, yeah, I think Ruby wants to use this opportunity to take over everything. I do believe that. I don't think she's working completely for mom, but that's just my estimation based on what I saw in this episode.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell. It's like that thing, the devil always lies unless the truth can hurt you more. What is the truth? I don't know.
It depends on a great many things. It depends on your personal point of view, apparently.
I'm so confused.
We always are. We, not you. We are always.
Yeah. But it was good to see dude who plays Alex Werner, whatever, back. I will always think of him as the kid from Gladiator. So it's weird to see him as an adult.
I'm not sure if those are contacts or those are how his eyes actually are.
Those are how his eyes actually are.
Wait, what? He's...
Yeah. No, that's the kid from Gladiator. Yeah.
The kid, the one who plays the nephew?
Yeah.
That's him?
Yeah.
Oh, Lauren, you have blown my mind. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Little kid grew up. Look at where he is now. Let's talk about another actor that has come into the series out of the break pass because he's got an IMDb list over 100 long. It's Jake Busey, who is playing the Candyman, and I've got a little sweet tooth, so we're going to talk about him right now. So, Michelle, what do you think about the Candyman?
I love that. Here's this guy who calls May Lady Cakes. It's like, I take orders from no one and me. And then just to see Mac go, Candyman? And this whole high school reunion, and he's all like, Mac Hammer? And like, what? It's interesting. This mission is being saved by an old high school friendship.
Well, college.
Yeah.
Oh, college.
They went
friendship.
To the academy together.
Yeah. Shield Academy. Yeah. But if you want to go back to high school era, I mean, he was. He's been acting since 1978, according to his IMDb. Of course, I first knew him as Ace Levy from Starship Troopers. And
yes.
He just goes on and on with, I mean, he was in Justified. He's been in everything.
Oh my God, he was in Twister. Yes, he was one of the technicians in Twister.
Right.
And he was in The Frighteners. Of course, Starship Troopers is where I will always know him from.
He has been around and...
He is looking more and more like Gary Busey every year.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
But it was great to have him on board, and you weren't quite sure what to think about him. And at the end, you're like, okay, he's a friend. Now, I don't know that for sure. He could still be working for General Hale, ultimately. But he said he's going to check around, so we're going to see him back.
Let's hope so, because it's Jake Busey. Come on.
It is indeed. And because of the Candyman, we now know what Mac's college nickname was.
Mac Hammer. Oh my God, y'all. Finding out that Mac was completely into MC Hammer was amazing.
Can't touch this.
That payoff was so... First of all, the high school picture, the yearbook picture of little baby Mac was adorable. And then the can't touch this moment when Mac is taking the shotgun axe to everybody in the flying ship. Was amazing.
Isn't it? It was amazing. And then also, if you want to go back to the ship, he definitely had a plan because he saw the possibility of using the flying monkeys. We'll just call them the flying monkeys. It's the droids that Hale had on board there. He knew that he could get their arms and then have them adapted for prosthetics for Yo-Yo. So he's like, I am so taking one of these with me. And he did. And that's great. So the whole Mac Yo-Yo thing continues on. Even on board Prince Pia in the fight. I do want to talk about the fight for a second. The fight on board the Prince Pia, it was good, and I don't think they had the intention to dark light it because they weren't trying to hide any moves or stuntman or anything like that from what I saw because, well, let's face it, the flying monkeys are all in suits anyway. But they were trying to adapt a realistic situation of a ghost ship that doesn't have any power. And so it doesn't have a lot of light. So I won't really throw this into the dark lighting fight just to try to hide stuff. Although maybe they did and I just didn't notice. But this is how it should be done right in a dark environment. So you can still see the fight, but yet be dark instead of not seeing half the fight because it's so dark. So I did enjoy it. The one fight that we had, it wasn't epic, but it was good.
Yeah, it was a fun fight. I feel like.
Anytime you get Mac and the shotgun axe, it's going to be good.
And it was. It was totally good, especially with Candyman actually holding it as well. I definitely got the Starship Troopers vibe with him holding the shotgun axe down. That was Awesome. Now, Michelle, you have been like the key to the Gravitonium this whole season. So what did you learn about this, the Gravitonium in this episode, and where do you think we're going to go in the future?
Well, we learned Hale has most of it, and now our team has a little piece of it. Because the last time we talked, you know, we knew about Gravitonium, the guy was in it. So we still don't know if the guy is still inside the Gravitonium. It's like, is this rip what causes the Earth to go kablooey? Because if that's the case, here's the thing. It wouldn't be S.H.I.E.L.D.'s fault. It would be Hale's fault. Because Hale put the drone with the monolith, which made it go boom. So she actually created the rift.
I think that's intentional at this point. If you want to take that a little further, I think she's been planning this all along. She knew what was in that bunker. She knew that she wanted to destabilize it in order to get the rift going. And now she's got the Gravitonium to do what, I don't know, but I don't think it's anything good. I think it was specifically procured for this instance. This is a long-term plan that she's got going on. And I think we're going to see the payoff for it in the upcoming episodes. But I've been known to be wrong before, as everybody keeps pointing out. So I'm not sure if it's just coincidence or not. I don't know. Lauren, what do you think?
I honestly don't know. I hadn't even considered it until you mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. I thought about it right away. Michelle and I are linked on this. I totally agree with you, Michelle. I think this is a great possibility going forward that this is not a coincidence.
And perhaps she thinks the rift is going to do one thing, but it is not going to do what she thinks.
Right. We also learned, by the way, that the Gravitonium that they had from Deke's belt buckle was not enough to seal the rift. We're still seeing the effects. So I don't know if adding more Gravitonium to that is going to help seal it, or if it's just going to continue to get worse and they're going to need more and more Gravitonium until they can finally seal it or blow the planet. I don't know. One of the two. Okay. So we got Ruby plotting against her mom. We've got a preview for next week that shows some old characters coming back. So that's good. We know that the Kree have been summoned, and that because of the future, we know that they do come to Earth and try to help Earth out, either before or right after the Earth blows up. And we've got Piper, who, by the way, we had that whole, is she a traitor? Is she a not traitor? And we actually got some feedback saying, yeah, they think that she is a traitor. We'll reserve final judgment until the end of the series, but she is still on board. She's in play, as are a bunch of other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, by the way, that probably came with Deathlok. So all of a sudden, I'm watching people in the hallways, and I'm like, where did they come from? Oh, Deathlok must have brought some people. And so I guess that's S.H.I.E.L.D. now, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. You guys have anything else you want to talk about in the episode, Michelle?
I love the scene where they find a flying ship. And Tony is like, oh my gosh, that's a flying ship. You guys see stuff like this every day? And the team's like, yeah. Yep.
Even yeah. The pilot.
They're just so blasé yeah. about it.
And then when Coulson was like, you better let May drive and all that type of stuff. And the other pilot was like, yeah, copy and agreed.
I'm not going to be flying that rescue operation if need be. Well, of course they didn't have to, but yeah, I could see May jumping in on that as well. All right, so we're going to rate the episode now, as we've been doing all season long. It started in lies. We did it last week out of 100. We're going to rate the episode in terms of flying ships, just because I just came up with it right now. So how many flying ships out of 10 do you think this episode is worth? Lauren?
I will give it a 7.5 on its own merit and an extra half for Jake Busey and Mac. So that's an 8.
Okay. Michelle?
I would agree. This is a pause episode where the action, the main thing, it's like it slows down, but it's a very good breath that they took because it wasn't boring. We actually had some character development along the way. So yeah, 8.
I wanted to go lower. I wanted to say 7 or 7.5, but I will agree. It's 8, possibly even 8.5. I've watched it a couple of times. The whole buildup with Hale's team, that's interesting to watch. It is a slower episode because you're still watching stuff happen. The flying ship, of course, is awesome for me. I understand that it's not that big of a deal in this universe because you've got Thor with his ships, you got Guardians of the Galaxy, that sort of thing. But this was a naval frigate, a destroyer, and it was at 25,000 feet. That was just awesome. So, yeah, I'll go 8.
It's very much a we're getting ready to build stuff up for the last half of the season episode, but it had enough little fun moments that I'm willing to give it an extra little nudge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can be convinced to go 8.5, but I'll stay at 8. So this is one of the reasons why I'll keep it at an 8. It has nothing to do with the actual episode. And I don't know if this is isolated to just me or if other people have had this issue. I'm just going to lay it out. So as I've watched the episode the first time through, I watched it on one of my main home entertainment centers, either in the workout room or in the great room or something like that. The second time through, I've been trying to take notes and watch it via the app. And yes, I know I can't fast forward through any of the commercials, but it's on the web. It's not actually an app. It's the web interface. But halfway through, it completely stalls. And no matter what I do, I can't bring it back. I have to wait at least like 10, 15 minutes, close down the window, bring it back. Even a reboot won't help it. So I don't know if it's on their end, if it's through my cable provider, if it's something I've got going on with software. But it has been very annoying to me lately of trying to watch that episode the second time, trying to take notes on it right here in the studio. And I don't know. Well, I'm going to try to keep figuring out what's wrong and we'll see how that goes in the future. And I'm guessing everybody else is watching it through different means because we've never had this discussion before. But listener, if you have had this experience with abcgo.com, let me know. And let me know if you figured out what to do with it, because this is really aggravating to me. Next time, next week, we're going to be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., episode 14 of the 5th season. It's the 102nd episode of the series called The Devil Complex. And based on our preview, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And that's next week, so stay tuned for the next episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the meantime, Lauren, if people want to go out and see other great geeky content, where can they go?
Well, you can go to gunnageek.com and find some of our other great shows like Game Life Balance US. In episode 49, is Super Metroid a perfect game? Where they ask, is Super Metroid a perfect video game? Cody poses the question and John tries to come up with answers as they review the classic Nintendo title on the SNES Classic, 24 years after it was first released.
A lot of great old classic gaming coming out of Game Life Balance US. By the way, there is another component to Game Life Balance. It's Game Life Balance Australia. Keep an eye on those guys. All right. With that, we're going to move on into the news.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but Marvel is doing this experiment with this small art house film called Avengers Infinity War. Perhaps we've heard of it, Lauren?
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, there's a new trailer out, and I may have watched it, you know, 5, 6, 10 times.
It was a good trailer. It was worth watching several times. So it came out during the NCAA tournament. I don't think that was a mistake. I think that was planned, and I think they did well with it because everybody's talking about it.
There are so many people in this trailer getting little hints of things that are going to go on, or getting little bits of character interaction. My two favorite bits, Star-Lord telling Tony Stark his plan is stupid, and
12% of a plan, right? 12%?
And Spider-Man, Peter Parker, introducing himself to Doctor Strange. Those were kind of adorable.
With his made-up name.
Yes. Oh, we're using our made-up names. Oh, and Baby Gamora. We get Baby Gamora.
Are we sure about that? Are we sure that's Baby Gamora?
I am 100% sure that's Baby Gamora. Because if you look on the sides, you see other people who look a lot like her being held back by presumably Thanos' guards. So I'm guessing this is where Thanos picks her up and then kills everyone else.
So Lauren, are people buying tickets for this thing?
It looks like they are. I mean, I know I have. And when I did, the theater was pretty full.
Wow. So yeah. I was wondering about this, and I haven't done any research into it, but if you previously had purchased opening night tickets, did you have to repurchase them for the actual opening night because it was moved up in the United States?
I thought that they had only just done ticket sales. I didn't think ticket sales were open before.
So the ticket sales came out after they moved the date up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So within 6 hours, they broke Fandango's record for best-selling superhero movie in the first 24 hours of pre-sales. So yeah, 6 hours to break 24 hours sales. Numbers are confusing me right now, but that seems pretty good.
This is so unfair because of what's going on in my personal life right now. I can't plan for anything like that in the future. So I'm going to have to buy the tickets like the day of or the day before. And I might not see it opening weekend at this point.
Oh no.
Yeah. We'll see though. Might have to take a day off of work to go see it during the day.
Yeah. I got mine for that Thursday, which is also my birthday. So happy birthday to me.
Yay.
Yes.
Will there be cake?
I will make cake happen.
What kind of cake do you take to an Infinity War movie?
I'll probably eat cake earlier in the day.
Oh, you're not going to take cake with you and serve it to the entire theater?
No.
Why would you not do that?
Because it's my cake.
Well, then you can tell them to shut up if they're annoying you.
But I like the big, I love the theater reactions.
Well, true, but if they're like chewing on milk duds or whatever, that's annoying when you take them out of the packet.
I don't mind it. I mean, I'm always that person who talks during the movie anyway. Yeah. So really, they should be more worried about me than I am about them.
Got it.
Well, there's like 500 characters in Infinity War, but it seems as though one is missing.
Yeah, we forgot about Hawkeye. Well, we didn't, but Hawkeye is not in the trailer and not on the poster. So Screen Rant is assuring us that Hawkeye has his own thing going on. And by Screen Rant, I mean they had an interview with the Russo brothers, who said that Hawkeye coming out of Civil War is in the same position that Cap and Falcon are at the end of that movie, and Ant-Man. And coming into this movie, characters who are on Cap's side coming out of Civil War, some made certain decisions and others made other decisions that led to different paths in them dealing with oversight in this movie in a different way. So Hawkeye's on his own journey in this movie. Yeah, he has a unique reaction to the Civil War situation that puts him in a special spot in this film. So, we know he's in it, I think. Jeremy Renner says he's in it.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Maybe he's training his wife to take over for him.
Maybe we're getting Kate Bishop Hawkeye.
It's possible.
I can hope.
Well, moving beyond Infinity War, we have some casting news for Captain Marvel.
So, we've talked about this particular casting before, I believe. Originally, DaWanda Wise had been cast in the movie, and I know I had speculated that she was going to be playing Monica Rambeau. She dropped out because of schedule reasons with Netflix's She's Gotta Have It season 2, and she's being replaced by Lashana Lynch. We're still pretty sure that she's going to be playing Monica Rambeau, and I really hope so because I really like that character.
I don't know. We'll see when the announcement actually comes out. They might be saving the announcement for when they actually get some screen time, you know, behind the camera sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or in front of the camera.
Now, I love Deadpool. I imagine you guys love Deadpool. We have a sequel coming out, but news isn't going too well for Deadpool 2.
There was recently a screening during which one person reported to Twitter that the plot of Deadpool 2 was lacking, the character Vanessa is entirely wasted, the tweet's been deleted, but Josh Brolin has confirmed that Deadpool 2 reshoots are happening. I'm really hoping that Deadpool 2 was a good movie because Deadpool was one of my favorite movies of that year that it came out, and I forget which year it was because I don't remember things.
Pretty sure it's 2016.
Okay. But guys, I don't want Deadpool 2 to be bad.
I don't either, but the film has been in kind of a mire of control because you've had the director leave and being replaced. You've had confliction with Ryan Reynolds. You've had the whole studio in upheaval because of what's going on with Disney purchasing Fox right now. So there are things going on around this film that are affecting it. And I don't think it has anything to do with the actors. And let's not forget that this kind of was going to be a one-off, and it did so well. They're like, okay, got a second one. Here you go. So this could be suffering from maybe we didn't have a good story on this character going into a second one. And it's hard to recreate the magic of the first. Take a look at Mask, right? Mask and Mask 2. Take a look at those and how well Mask did and how poorly Mask 2 did. And you get a vibe of maybe this is similar. So we'll see when it comes out. I'm going to go see it, though. Michelle, you're going to go see it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully it'll be good.
Well, I like finding oddball things, and I have a couple of them for you today. First, Angela Bassett would have made a fantastic Killmonger in Black Panther. This is the headline by BuzzFeed. She stopped by BuzzFeed to speak about the film, and she ad-libbed basically they had her read an audition to be Killmonger. It's a great little clip. You see her starting and then kind of laughing and trying to get back into character. It's just very interesting, very short clip.
Yeah, it's a fun video. It's well worth a watch.
And IO9 actually shared that Marvel's Black Panther animated series is streaming for free on YouTube. I did not realize that back in 2011, Marvel, in co-production with BET, produced a 6-episode animation motion comic hybrid series starring the Black Panther.
Yes. Now,
the entire series is streaming on Marvel's YouTube channel. The 120-minute series was unusually ambitious for motion comics, blending original and striking animation with the sort of slow start-and-stop vibe that usually characterizes the genre. With Jimon Hansu as T'Challa, it tells a similar story to the Black Panther film, introducing audiences to Wakanda and its king before introducing an external threat to his role.
I remember when this happened, and I was so excited about it at the time because, yes, Black Panther, and yes, Jimon Hansu, who's one of, I love this guy. I was so upset that he was wasted in his little bitty role in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I remember when it came out, I was hoping that the animation would have been a little bit more because I didn't know it was going to be a motion comic. And it is worth a watch. It's based more on...
Wish I could help.
Hold on. I'm Googling it.
Okay. So in the meantime, we've got a free Black Panther animated series on YouTube, which I have not checked out yet. So I will throw that up and check it out.
It's based on the Reginald Hudson run. And if I remember right, it was produced and written by Reginald Hudson because it was based on his run. It's a motion comic. So if you like the Reginald Hudlin run of Black Panther, seriously, check it out. And again, Jimon Hansu, amazing.
And that's it for the news today. We're going to move on into some feedback.
So we have a lot of Twitter feedback this week, and I picked 3 because otherwise we'd be here for a while. So first off, we have from @AdonnaGirl. Shame there's no news for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about this week. And she linked us an article from Entertainment Weekly, EW.com, decoding all the references and revelations in the new Infinity Wars trailer. And this is worth a read. It's a bunch of little, it's like a slideshow of the things that are going on and a bunch of the covers of the Entertainment Weekly. But anyway, it's worth a look. If you're curious about some of the stuff, some of the little scenes, if you, like me, decided to go buy it scene by scene. I believe IO9 also has their own scene by scene thing up. We also have from @AndyMigna. So, since Deke knows, will he try to change the future? And this is an interesting thing. So now that Deke knows that he is here because, okay, his grandparents had his mother. His mother met his father, presumably in this horrible crap sack future. And now he's there because of it. So if they make this future not happen, will Deke poof out of existence? Or is he there already because of a weird time loop and, oh no, I've gone cross-eyed?
I don't know. It's what happens with Deke, right? He could heroically save the team again, and this is kind of a non-starter anyway, but if that's the case, can he come? It's the whole time thing. And I'm sure they're going to have an answer for us. Otherwise, a lot of people will be not happy. So we'll see.
And normally I like to pick from different people, but Christy at Adana Girl sent us this article that I really wanted to talk about. So South by Southwest started last week, and she linked us, "This made me think of y'all's discussion about Phil charging his hand. If someone needs to charge their bionic arm, give up the nearest outlet." Angel, I'm very sorry, I'm going to mispronounce her last name. Giuffria uses a prosthesis that requires a battery charge every few hours. At South by Southwest, she needed to charge it up, but found it difficult to convince people to give up their outlets. It turns out this isn't quite the whole truth. She made a tweet about people charging their phone and having to go to the shame corner to charge her phone. But then she said, "I thought it was funny because there was another plug nearby. For all I know, they were confused by the entire situation, since everyone here at South by Southwest seems to think my arm's a video game fashion statement or a fancy lit up glove and not a prosthesis." There's, in this Twitter Moments thread, a lot of question and answer about her having to charge up her arm. Other people have been chiming in. "I saw somebody who has a prosthetic leg that needs to charge their up, and the port is behind their knee. So at some conference, they had to cut a hole in the back of their jeans to reach the port." And this is kind of becoming the new reality of people needing to charge up their phones, people have being able to use USB chargers to do that, which is really cool. But remember, we talked about this several episodes ago with Coulson needing to charge up his hand. And it's not science fiction anymore. This is reality. People being able to charge up their super awesome bionic arms. It's so cool. Guys, the future is here.
Yeah. Waited long enough for it, so I'm glad it's here. And hopefully we'll have an Earth to charge up prosthetics with in a few years.
Again, this is the cool thing about science fiction. A scientist will see something like so many scientists working on prosthetics were inspired by Luke Skywalker's prosthetic hand in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and they made prosthetics like that a reality. You have so many people inspired. You're going to have people inspired by Coulson's hand. You're going to have people inspired by Misty Knight's bionic arm in the new season of Luke Cage. You're going to have people inspired by all these things that they see in science fiction. So let's keep imagining this bigger, brighter future and inspiring the next generation of scientists to come. Because as we're seeing, we keep making this a reality. And let's not make it the bad reality. Let's make it the good reality. Let's make the good parts of it a reality, because people are going to keep dreaming and keep making it bigger and better and cooler.
One of my favorite movies is Bicentennial Man, and partly it's because of Robin Williams, but partly it's because of the future as for body replacement parts is the best way to describe it in terms of that movie, and also the evolution of AI and where are we going to go with that. So, yeah, it's all possible, and we'll see how far we get in my lifetime, and I hope we get to see some even cooler stuff, but definitely my kids are going to see some phenomenal stuff. So
yeah,
it's all great.
We're already seeing things so much more amazing than our parents and grandparents ever dreamed of.
It's true.
That's astonishing. I'm planning to go to the library and print out finger splints. How cool is that?
Oh yeah. With the 3D printers.
Yes.
Yeah. You should check out this week's episode of Gonna Geek, by the way, Gonna Geek episode 231 to talk about 3D printers. It's a really cool story there. So go check that out.
People can print out prosthetics. It's amazing. Guys, mm-hmm. the future kind of sucks, but it's kind of cool too.
It is. Michelle, you think it's cool?
Very. I heard that they're trying to 3D print organs to...
Yes!
Because there's an organ shortage for organ transplants, and that would be phenomenal if they could do that.
Oh my God, no. This is literally a thing people can do. There is a type of 3D printer where you get, it's a little mesh thing, and you can lay down a cellular mesh on it, and you can use it for skin grafts. And it's so, so cool. And people are, trying to do that with things like hearts. You lay down the cellular mesh and you grow it up a little bit in a little bath. And we're doing baby steps, and it still just leaps and bounds above where I ever thought we would be even 5-10 years ago. And every day I'm reading just this cool, awesome, amazing stuff. And you guys, I'm like vibrating right now. I'm so happy thinking about it.
Yeah. So we'll keep our eyes on what happens with Yo-Yo and get back to everybody hopefully next week. And
see. Oh, we didn't talk about Mac bringing her robot arms.
I did. I mentioned that it was pretty cool that he did that. Yeah. And the beer.
So sweet. Yep. Who needs flowers and candles when you could bring back robot arms for your loved ones?
Yeah. I mean, he basically stayed on board the ship and he's like, I want one of those. I need to bring him back for
this is Yo-Yo. Why Mac and Yo-Yo are couples goals.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about what happens to Mac in the future. I mean, in the episode, they didn't talk about that. Like, Yo-Yo didn't bring that up. She's like, I want to be with Mac for the rest of my life. But she didn't remember everything that was said to her in the future, at least in that conversation. So that's looming over everything. What happens to Mac? What happens to Coulson? What happens to all these? Carrie Simmons is in the same boat, too. All right. So we're going to get into those next time. In the meantime, we're going to hammer time this one out. Thanks to everybody that has stuck with us so long. This was a longer episode this week. And thank you to everybody that's downloaded the show, because without it, we wouldn't be doing it. So thanks for all your feedback, too.
Thank you guys for thinking of us during the week, for sending us stuff, for hanging out during the live tweets, for sending us your own live tweets. We love hearing from you. We love knowing what you're thinking of the show, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and of us for that matter. And hey, if you want to try out the A-Word app thing, seriously, rate it, review it. You'll be doing us a favor. It'll be great.
Yes, thank you to everyone who listens, who likes our little show when we speculate about anything and everything that possibly could happen on this show. So we really do appreciate you listening to us and contributing.
We do. And once again, if you are illegally pirating this show through Torrent, please let us know. Until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle. You guys aren't going to drop it, are you?
I just think it's neat. See you guys next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Oh, you're knitting.
Crocheting.
Oh, crocheting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm working on a baby blanket for one of my cousins.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, 3 pregnant cousins. One just had her baby, and I got that blanket sent out, like, not quite in time because she had the baby 3 weeks premature.
Oh, wow.
But the blanket's there now. This one, baby is due early June, I think.
Oh,
wow. So that should be okay. And other one, she hasn't gotten back to me on colors, so I'm just going to do whatever.
I did not know you crocheted.
Yep, my aunt taught me when I was a kid. I taught myself to knit because, you know, have to do all the things, apparently.
What's the difference between knitting and crocheting?
Okay, so crocheting, you do it with one hook that looks like this.
Okay.
And knitting, you do it with two needles, and they're both pointed at the end. And it's like you knot the yarn around each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whereas with the crochet, you use the hook to knot the yarn around itself.
Oh, okay.
It's just a series of knots. ASP.
Like knots or like do's?
Like knots, like K-N-O-T-S. I'm crocheting a baby blanket. Not for me.
SP was wearing the wrong headphones. Couldn't hear myself. Something's
fun,
wrong.
Fun.
Yeah. When I edit, I use the other ones. When I record, I use these as a monitor from the recorder versus the board. I used to monitor from my speakers. They're called monitors too, but I used to monitor from the speakers, but the new ones don't have an output that I can plug into.
So.
Had to go through the board. Oh, well. All right. Welcome to another edition of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Woot woot.
Or as I called it on the show last week, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do that. I call the show Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I call our show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's all very confusing.
It is indeed.
Indeed.
So, I have news. If you didn't see it in the show notes, we now have our very own Amazon Alexa skill.
Hey.
How did that happen?
Well, Libsyn chose us to be a beta tester.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome.
I think they're just slowly rolling it out for everybody, but I got on board quickly as soon as I heard, so.
Like, this felt like a good setup episode, but.
The flying boat got me. I was like, oh, this is so cool, flying boat!
I was so happy that I was, like, bitching about, you know, wait a minute, if they take the gravitonium, isn't the ship going to crash? And then they're like, wait a minute, if we take the gravitonium, isn't the ship going to crash? I was like, thank you, writers.
Yep, that in the 25,000 feet with the oxygen, stuff like that.
Yes, it's like, oh, thank you, writers, for anticipating your science nerds and our nitpick.
Then, oh, by the way, YouTube kept on sending me recommendations for ghost ships after I watched the episode.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Send me some of that if you still have it in your...
I watched, like, one of them, yeah, so I'll send it to you. It's a real story. I've seen it before, but this was a new thing of it. It was a ship that was lost in, like, 32 and went to 68 or something like that.
Oh, cool. I love those stories. Like, we did a project on the Mary Celeste when I was in middle school.
It was mentioned. This was not the Mary Celeste, or maybe it was.
No, the Mary Celeste was in, like, the 1800s, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, with the wooden, got it.
Yeah, I remember we had to write a song about it. I still remember that friggin' song. In 1872, they disappeared, yes.
Okay. I saw a video on that months ago, too. So, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a cool story. I don't want to get anywhere near them.
Yeah.
Just because they're death traps.
They're horrifying.
They literally are. You need, as a matter of fact, most are scuttled, if possible, just to maintain clear shipping lanes.
Yeah. Just everything about ghost ships and stuff. It's fascinating. Like,
all right. Is everybody recording?
Now I am. And I'm also looking at a BuzzFeed article of things that really look like penises, but are not.
Oh, God, you penises. And
look, it's not my fault. There's a starfish that looks like five.
If you want to see a penis, I can arrange that, but I'm not going to do it unless it's requested.
I mean, okay, look at this. It's number three. Okay, I'm going to email it to you so it's not in the thing.
So basically, there's a thing where you see faces in inanimate objects, and now there's a thing about seeing penises in inanimate objects. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like prosopagnosia, except with Look, I've just emailed it to you.
Okay.
I got to see. Look at number three. I mean, all of these look like, but.
Okay. So.
All right.
Number.
Okay.
What the fuck? Someone's. Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. This is very interesting.
Right? It is literally prosopagnosia, but for.
Oh, that poor chair.
I love the one that it's a little golden retriever puppy that just looks like a.
Yeah.
Technically, this squirrel has a piece of food, not an erection.
Oh my God, the man's head.
Oh my God. No. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You know, I don't go out of my way to look at stuff that snowblur, okay? That, yeah, I don't see this sort of stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I have a dirty mind, but I see genitalia everywhere.
My God, how many are there? 6? 27?
Like so many.
28?
Oh no. Now I'm looking at bad tattoos.
Oh, okay. We got to get going.
Yeah, we got to get going. But
is everybody recording?
Yes. Why did people pay for these?
Thanks for a great show, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Penises and all.
I didn't show mine once. Jeez. For the record.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
What?
Yay! Yep.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.